Hey guys, this is Jonathan. Before we get started with today's episode, I want to give you a heads up that unfortunately, this week, our sound quality is not quite as good as I would like it to be. You're going to hear some, it's almost like glass tinkling electronically, and it comes from overprocessing audio. I was trying to remove a lot of interference when I was editing, and so as a result, that's what is left over. You have my apologies. As you know, we typically strive to do better than that. I hope you still enjoy this show anyway, and rest assured that we will do better the next time. All right, let's get on with the show. Joel, tell them about the warning.
Warning. The following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and today I am here with Carmella.
Hello.
I am here with Russ.
Hello.
And I am here with Jeffrey.
Hello.
Hey, guys. It is awesome to have everyone here today. As you heard, we didn't have Chris's voice. Chris is not with us today. But you remember Russ from his tournament run and then his subsequent domination of both Chris and I in a single game.
He crushed you.
He did crush my dreams.
Your one dream that you had left.
Yes, my aspirations. It was sad, but Russ is back today. And Jeffrey, you'll also remember from the tournament. Now, Jeffrey, you didn't have a long run in the tournament, though. Who was it? Who did you go up against that knocked you out?
Scott Barber. It was a close one that went to the final round, and I didn't wager enough to get ahead. Yeah.
And Scott ended up going all the way on to get to Russ in the final before losing there.
Yep.
Okay, well, so I am really glad to have you guys here in our game today. Jeffrey is going to be the host, and it's going to be Carmella and Jonathan versus Russ. That's right. It's a 2-on-1. I recruited backup.
Yeah, I've never actually been on a team with you before.
I was thinking the same thing, and I'm going to tell you this right now. We have pressure on us.
Oh, do we?
Because my ego cannot afford a loss in this game.
Oh.
I mean, it cannot.
Your poor ego.
I can't have that happen.
I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Well, that's what he said last time.
He says that in every
game.
And
he said that to me.
Yes.
So, I mean, and we both
beating
lost.
You like 10-1.
Aw. Don't remind me.
Before we get started, though, something interesting happened to me yesterday.
Oh.
I was driving along the road at a merger point on a pretty busy highway, and a paint truck almost ran me off the road.
Giant truck, they almost ran it off the road?
Yes, they just literally, at the very, with an inch, maybe an inch and a half of clearance, they swerved over into my lane right in front of me.
Oof.
And I thought he was going to spin me out. I thought right there in the middle of the road, and it would have been trouble for me. And there was a few seconds where we had to slow down for mergers to happen. And so the guy had a phone number on the back of his van, and I decided, I'm going to call this guy and give him a piece of my mind. And so I pull out my phone, and I dial the number, and immediately somebody picks up. And I wasn't sure if I was talking to the person in the van or somebody at the business end of the phone number. And so I said, hey, your minivan almost ran me off the road back there. And the guy was the guy in the van himself. And he said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. This guy just stopped right in front of me, and I was getting over, and I panicked and just came over. I was like, dude, you scared the hell out of me. And he says, yeah, well, it scared the hell out of me, too. And so after that, we realized that, I mean, there's nothing we could do about it, obviously. But it was, I'll tell you this, it made me feel better to know the guy wasn't just being a jerk and waiting to the last minute or just trying to, like, be swift about it. He had run across a situation he didn't know what to do with, and he didn't actually see me. It was amazing. I think maybe we should all drive around with our phone numbers on the back of our vehicles, and that way we can call and get that out so we don't deal with road rage. What do you guys think of that?
Oh, that could go either way.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, the pretty girls, they don't want their numbers in the back of their car, right. Do they?
Oh, that's not what I was talking about, but it could end up being a screaming match between two people on the phone. And now you're on the phone while you're driving.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Maybe I didn't think this through all the way. But my experience was good. So there is
good. That's all that matters. All
right. You know what time it is?
Is it time to warm it up?
It is time to warm it up, Chris. Here is our question for the day. This question comes from Quentin Gitchell. Now, Quentin, by the way, you're not on the Facebook group. You should totally join the Facebook group so everybody can hang out with you. But in the meantime, I loved your question, so I'm going to use it. From Quentin, I have a list of items related to board games. I'm going to name the item, and you have to tell me the name of the board game.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go round robin.
All right.
If you miss it, you're out.
Okay.
Okay?
Wow.
We're going to start with Carmella. A revolver.
That's it? That's all I get?
That's the item.
It's just a revolver.
A revolver.
Clue.
Clue is correct. Jeffrey.
Okay.
Grandma Nut.
Grandma Nut. I've never heard of that in a board game that I've played before. I'm going to guess Mousetrap.
Mousetrap is incorrect. Jeffrey's already out. Does anybody know what Grandma Nut is from?
No.
No?
Is it Candyland?
Candyland.
Oh.
Grandma Nut is a character in Candyland.
Food related.
All right. Speaking of food related, Russ, yours is Adam's Apple.
Oh, that would be Operation.
Operation is correct. Carmella?
Mm-hmm.
Purple Wedge.
Trivial Pursuit.
Trivial Pursuit is correct. Russ, a tough one for you.
Oh, boy.
The Safety Zone.
The Safety Zone. Is that Sorry?
It is Sorry. Wow. I'm impressed.
I was kind of hoping he wouldn't get it because I knew that one.
You did know that
yeah.
one. Yeah. I am impressed.
I never really played Candyland, but I played a lot of Sorry.
Man, goodness gracious.
Sorry. Sorry.
I've played quite a bit of Candyland recently.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
A Scotty Dog.
Monopoly.
Monopoly, correct. Boy, Jeffrey's feeling like Coco, and I know all of these.
That's all right.
Russ, people pegs.
People pegs?
Yep.
Hmm. Sounds familiar. People pegs. I can almost see them. I don't know. I'll say Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan is incorrect. I think they have meeples in Settlers of Catan.
They do have meeples. That would be the Game of Life, sir.
The Game of Life, Carmella.
That's right. Okay, yeah, they stick in the car.
All right, Carmella, all you have to do is get this right, and you are the winner of Warm It Up, Chris.
Woohoo!
You will have beaten Russ at something.
Finally!
Aircraft carrier.
Oh.
Battleship.
You are correct. Carmella is our champion.
Woohoo!
We had two more, if you made it. The next one would have been Creative Cat. Does anybody know Creative Cat?
Creative Cat.
Jeffrey, you can answer too if you know it.
Is it Cranium?
It is Cranium.
Yes. Man.
Look at that. You came through at the end there. And lastly, Richard.
Richard.
Just Richard?
Yep.
It sounds familiar, actually, but I don't know. I wouldn't be able to come up with it.
What game might have people's names on?
Oh, Guess Who?
Guess Who.
Yeah.
Yes. Well done, guys. All right. There was your warming up, Chris. Carmella, well done.
Thank you.
Large and in charge. Are you ready for me and you to take down him?
Let's go.
All right, let's do this.
I'm ready.
Jeffrey, I'm turning. No, I didn't care if you were ready. I was hoping you weren't.
That's mean.
Well, I am Jonathan. Have we met?
More than I'd like to.
Oh, boy. Jeffrey, I'm going to turn it over to you. You are the host. Take it away.
Round one, the first question, category is in food. Goulash is a steaming bowl of soup or stew of meat and vegetables, often seasoned with paprika. That is a national dish of what country?
I'm locked in. Written down.
All right.
Wow.
How is goulash spelled, please?
Sure. Goulash is spelled G Koulash.
I've always pronounced it goulash.
Yeah, so have I. But I could be pronouncing it wrong.
Well, I'm betting he knows how to pronounce it better than we do.
I double-checked the pronunciation on it. So.
He's already taught us something, hasn't he?
Yes.
I would have thought Russia or Romania. Mm. Those were the two that came to my
mind. Yeah, I'm definitely thinking of some sort of Slavic
yes. So, place. So Russia has gulags.
Yes.
I wonder if they're pronounced guyags.
Guyags.
Well, you never know, right?
Maybe.
Do you have any idea?
No, because I was thinking around that Balkan region, like Poland or something like that. So I'm definitely in the same area as you. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck between Romania and Russia.
That's the thing with the new question asker. Don't know if he went easy, Russia, or more challenging, Romania, if one of those is the right answer. You know what I mean?
And we also could be completely wrong.
Yes, exactly. That's our other option. I'm trying to think where they eat goulash.
Everywhere.
Elementary schools.
Can I just go Russia?
Sure, why not?
All right, we're going to say Russia.
And then you, Russ?
I said Hungary.
The answer is Hungary.
Well, I'm glad we didn't choose wrong.
Yeah.
Hungary?
Yeah, now I am. Thanks.
Hungry for some goulash.
Okay, great. So the second question of round one is in TV.
Okay.
The question is, in the AMC TV series Breaking Bad, what was the name of the fast food restaurant chain that was co-founded by Gus Fring and served as a front for money laundering and distribution logistics for a regional crystal meth empire?
I got it written down. Locked in.
I'm really hoping you watch Breaking Bad, because you know I don't.
So, I don't really watch TV. So, I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Carmella and I both bring the same skills to the table, and our partnership may be ill-fated as a result.
You're the one who picked me.
So, you've never watched Breaking Bad? I've never watched Breaking Bad. I don't even know the guy's name. I just found out he was the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. Like,
oh, that I knew. It's like Heisenberg or something like that. It's what he's known as. That's about all I know. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what that fast food chain is. And I'm betting it's a fictional fast food chain if he's asking the question.
Almost certainly.
Yes.
So, Burger Man. The Taco Hut.
Taco Hut would be pretty interesting. It is kind of like in New Mexico-ish, so...
What kind of fun names can we put on Taco? The Taco Shack?
Siesta Shack.
Burrito Man. Just making up an answer?
Make up an answer.
We're going with a Taco Shack.
And then you, Russ, what do you have?
Yeah, I have kind of an advantage on this because I've actually been there.
Oh,
it's a real place.
Last year's Geek Bowl was in Albuquerque. And we did a Breaking Bad tour and visited the actual location where they film in this restaurant. It is actually a real restaurant called Twisters.
Oh.
But for filming, they call it Los Pollos Hermanos.
The chicken men?
The answer is Los Pollos Hermanos.
What does hermanos mean?
Means
brothers.
Brothers, yeah.
The chicken brothers.
Yep.
Chicken brothers, yeah.
That's close to the Taco Shack.
Very
if I had said the Chicken Brothers, would you have given it to me? Jeffrey's like, I am not answering that. Okay, Jeffrey.
Okay. For the third question in round one, the category is fashion.
Oh, boy.
Immortalized in several Kanye West songs, which fashion designer was responsible for designing both the pencil skirt and the A-line skirt.
Okay. Kanye West songs? Kanye West sings about this person?
Several songs make reference to this fashion designer.
Russ is laid back in his chair. His mind is in a meditative pose.
All right, I'm locked.
Okay. So, if this person invented the A-line skirt, then it's somebody who's been around for a while.
Right.
The A-line's not something recent.
No, and pencil skirt, that's... For me, that's definitely Italian fashion.
So you listed down Gucci, Versace, and Dolce & Gabbana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Dolce & Gabbana...
They're fairly new.
Recent. So I would... I eliminated them.
I mean, they're not, like, new, but they're definitely newer than Versace.
Right. Gucci, it doesn't feel like dresses to me. It feels more like...
But it definitely feels like something that Kanye West would sing about.
Well, so does Versace, though.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other classic
Armani
designers? Armani.
Prada.
I think of Armani as more men's than women, mm-hmm, for some reason.
Well, they do a lot of menswear.
Yeah.
But I know that
Vera Wang,
Kim K uses a lot of Armani kinds of things. So that's kind of why I was thinking of them too. I definitely think it's an Italian designer, though.
I think it's Versace.
Okay, we can go with Versace.
All right, we're gonna go with Versace.
I went back and forth between a couple in my head. I wrestled with Coco Chanel, who I know invented the little black dress.
Yeah.
But I ended up going with Versace.
Yes. We both went Versace. Yeah.
So the correct answer is Christian Dior.
Oh, okay.
All right. So Kanye West had a couple of songs that made reference.
None of us got there.
Christian Dior Denim Flow was one of them that actually had it in the title of the song. But even in songs like Stronger and Devil in a New Dress, he makes reference to that fashion designer. And he was French.
When I think of Dior, all I think of, like, is colognes and perfumes. I don't even think of design. Well, okay, so going into the second round, Russ has 20. Carmella and Jonathan have 0. Okay, we're going to... That's a minor stumbling block. We can come back.
It can only go up from here.
We can do this.
Okay, so we're now up to a round two. The first question in round two is in sports.
Sports.
Among the four major professional sports in the U.S., the longest time span for a player between their first and last regular season MVP award is 14 years, achieved by which athlete who won those MVP awards in each of the two different teams they played for.
Ooh, could you read that again, please?
Yes, I will. So among the four major professional sports in the U.S., the longest time span for a player between their first and last regular season MVP award is 14 years, achieved by which athlete who won those MVP awards in each of the two different teams he or she played for.
Oh, boy. And are you saying that this person only played for two teams?
That's what I heard, too.
Okay. Yes, I am.
I'm going to need a lot of your help, Jonathan.
I'm going to need a lot of my help, too.
Because we're talking American sports.
This is a great question, but it's super challenging.
It is.
The thing about it is the number of sports. If it was down to one sport, then it'd be a little easier to grab a hold of. You know what I mean?
All right, I'm going to write something down so you guys can talk about it. I'm locked in.
So we've been thinking for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
There's two names that have come up for me.
Okay.
The first one's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
Really long career. Started it with the Milwaukee Bucks. Ended it with the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't believe he played anywhere else. I'm pretty sure he won multiple MVPs. I don't know that he won one. I don't know how far apart they were.
Mm-hmm.
But the length of his career and how good he was throughout it means it's a possibility. The other one that I'm leaning towards at the moment is Wayne Gretzky. Gretzky had a decently long career. He started it with the Edmonton Oilers. He finished it with the LA Kings. I don't believe he played anywhere else. And so... I know he won multiple MVPs.
He's got the record.
He won like 5 or 6 MVPs.
He's won a lot because he has the record across all sports for most MVPs.
Hey, so it might even be like 8.
Yeah.
I could see, if I was guessing right now, that'd probably be the person that I went with. But have you thought of any other options or concepts?
Well, I thought of one person's name, and it's just because of this last year. But I'm not sure because I'm not very sports-oriented. Peyton Manning. I don't know if he won an MVP with the Broncos. Well, and he's had a relatively long career too.
His first MVP would have been somewhere in the early 2000s.
Okay.
He definitely didn't win an MVP last year.
Okay.
I believe he did win an MVP with the Broncos though.
Okay.
He had a 50 touchdown season with the Broncos, a record setting season with the Broncos 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost certainly won the MVP. That would have been 2013. His rookie year was 1998. So if he won the MVP in his second year, I don't think he did. But if he did, it would have been 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, he didn't start in 98. Brady started in 98. He started in 96. So he could have very well won the MVP in 98 or 99. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure he did. I think that's a good answer.
Man, if that's right, I don't know where it came from.
I think that's good. He could have very well won an MVP in the late 1900s and then again in 2013.
Okay.
And that would have been 14 years. He only played with two teams. All right, we're going to say Peyton Manning.
And you, Russ?
That is a good guess. I also started with Gretzky, but when you narrow it down that they've only played for two teams, Gretzky definitely played for more than two teams.
Did he? Did he play for the Rangers?
Yep.
He also played for the Blues for a season.
Oh.
That eliminated that. Then the next name that jumped out at me was Barry Bonds, who I knew won. He has the record for the most MVPs in the major leagues, but I couldn't remember if he won any when he played for the Pirates. But I couldn't come up with any other good guesses after that, so I just stuck with Barry Bonds.
Okay. So this athlete's first MVP award was in 1990. Last one was in 2004.
Oh, that's
Barry
Bonds.
Answer is Barry Bonds, both with the Pittsburgh Pirates in 90 and the San Francisco Giants in 2004.
This game's rigged.
I literally I want to gnash my teeth. Manning won in 2003 and then again in 2013, so he had a 10-year gap.
Ah.
But that doesn't help me because we were still wrong. But if it makes you feel better, I was going to be wrong no matter what. So, hey, by the way, we haven't gotten one right yet.
I know.
Okay. The second question in round two is in toys.
Toys!
We should be able to get a toy question. This is us.
Because okay. You have a child and you think I am a child.
I am a child.
So the question is, a schoolyard craze during the mid-1990s, Pogs was arguably discovered during the 1920s in Hawaii, and the term Pog is actually an acronym developed by a Hawaiian juice brand from which the drink's caps were used to play the game. What does the acronym POG stand for?
Holy crap, Jeffrey.
I had so many POGs.
That's so hard. Oh my god.
So I was in elementary school during the 1990s, and yeah. I definitely played this a lot. But
So it's POG, not POGs. So it's a three-letter acronym. Okay.
Yeah, that is correct.
I have written down and locked in then.
Okay.
You are written down and locked in.
Feel free to talk
about it. So if it's Hawaiian juice, I wrote pineapple, orange, guava.
Pineapple is definitely the place I was leaning. The guava part's the part I'm having a hard time with.
Mm-hmm.
Pineapple, orange, grapefruit might make more sense than guava.
Okay.
Because those are both citrus. I don't like guava. I like grapefruit better than guava. Are there any other G's that make sense? Coconut does not start with G.
Does not.
No.
Go-go juice.
Goku nut. It's a Dragon Ball Z thing. I think that might be it.
Okay. Pineapple, orange, grapefruit.
Yep. All right, that's our answer.
Okay. Well, I started out thinking same lines as you. But my first thought was papaya, orange, grapefruit. But then I thought, I don't know that you can get a lot of juice out of a papaya.
Man, I was hoping you stuck with papaya.
So I went with the same as you did, pineapple, orange, grapefruit.
So you're all on the right track as far as the fruits are concerned. Each of the letters stand for a fruit, but the answer is passion fruit, orange, and guava. So guava is one of them.
At least I got guava.
Yeah.
Papaya?
I would have never gotten passion fruit.
Passion fruit.
Oh. Where'd I get papaya from?
From Russ.
That's what my first thought was.
See, I'm so confused. I'm not used to losing this badly. Jeffrey is trying to shut us out, and I'm not...
I was not trying.
I'm not even joking.
Okay, so the third question in round two is movies and corporations. So there'll be a couple of categories that span multiple... a couple of questions that span multiple categories, and this is one of them. The password to the shield defenses that protect planet Druidia in the 1987 movie Spaceballs is also the same as the zip code where which large Fortune 500 company was founded.
Ah. What are you looking for in your answer?
So I'm looking for the name of the company who was founded in the zip code that is the same as the password used that in the planet Druidia to protect, the planet.
What kind of company was it?
The name of the company.
No, what kind of company? Was there a...
A large Fortune 500 company.
A large Fortune 500 company.
Did he pull these out of the extra spicy list?
He definitely did.
Man, you were so sure, too.
Well, the zip code part, I got that. That's easy.
Yeah, I still don't know. I'm trying to work out if it means something...
Small victories. If it's taking this long for us to think of an answer, it's just as hard as I think it is.
Okay. Somehow I don't feel better.
I've got logic. I've got logic to get me 2/4 of the way there, which could also be 1/2 of the way there. But I don't have enough information to complete the logical chain.
Maybe you need 4/8 of the information.
There are at least... The reason I said 2/4 is there's at least 4 steps here.
Mm. All right, I went ahead and locked something in, but it's definitely wrong. Feel free to talk.
Sure it is.
Yeah, right.
Barry Bonds was surely wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so Carmella.
Yeah.
The zip code is 12345.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. So my question to you when we were writing back and forth was what state has zip... Every state has zip codes starting with a certain set of numbers.
Right.
Like Florida, I believe most of them start with 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so if we can figure out what state has a 1-2 starting point, then that will lead us to an answer. For example, if it was Washington, we could go with Amazon or Google.
Right.
If it was California, we could go with Apple or... Where's Microsoft? Is that Washington, too? A lot of stuff in Washington.
I think so.
You wrote down New York.
I do think it's a northern-type state, because if you think all of states have a zip code that starts with the same number, California would be 9, because 90210 is in California.
Oh, that's a really good catch.
So, and I do think it goes down this way, so from top to bottom.
What about Minnesota? Minnesota has GE, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea. If they chose a starting point for the zip code, zip codes came around like 100 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more, I think.
It was before my time.
Barely. Just barely. So maybe they started out as a Eastern bias kind of thing and rolled out from there, mm-hmm. right?
Because I know there are a lot of zip codes. I'm trying to remember from when I lived there that the zip codes in Virginia, I believe, start with 2.
Okay. The problem with New York as a place...
is lots of things are in New York.
Well, I don't know any specific companies that started in New York. I mean, everybody starts in New York, don't we? Mm. So I couldn't narrow that down to a company. And this is where I got stuck.
Yeah.
Right
now
here.
Now I'm with you.
Good, we're stuck together.
Hooray!
Stuck in the middle with you. If we don't have any better answer, I would just go with GE.
Yeah, I'll just go with GE. Why not?
All right. We're going to say GE. We hate ourselves, though.
I think you got me on that one. That's a really good answer. I had exactly the same logic as you. I wrote a tough trivia question a few years ago that had to do with the first zip code in order and the last. The first is definitely in the state of New York. The last is in Alaska. But I couldn't remember the name of the city that was the first. I think it was Schenectady or Rochester, one of those. And the only Fortune 500 company I could think of that was founded in that area was Eastman Kodak. But I think you probably are right with GE.
I don't think we're right.
So, as you said, the zip code is 12345, which is the zip code of Schenectady, New York, which was where General Electric was founded.
Oh, my God! Oh. Yay, we're on the board!
Nice. We lucked into that one, because I thought General Electric was in Minnesota.
I thought they were founded in New York City, but apparently
are they
not.
Where? Why do I think they're in Minnesota? Are they in Minnesota now?
No, they're in Fairfield, Connecticut right now, but totally they're actually moving to Boston in a couple of years.
Oh, there goes freaking General Electric.
Wow. Nice work.
Going into round three, it is 30 to 10.
I feel a little less bad now.
Well, that's because we've infinitely increased our score.
Well, that's true, but Russ still only has 30. It's not like, you know, 60 or something.
These are tough.
These are hard.
Okay. So now we're up to round three. The first question in round three is video games.
Woo!
That's the category.
All right, let's get this, okay?
It is now 30 to 20. Let's go ahead and skip the question. 30 to 20.
Us.
I don't know what the questions he's been asking is going to be about this long, and we're not going to know what the answer is.
The answer is going to be Mario's third cousin, Elmer.
So the question is, a descendant of a family of vampire hunters, what is the name of the whip-wielding protagonist in the Konami video game Castlevania?
Well, I'm going to lock in just because I have no idea.
I don't know what you wrote down, but I believe that we had the answer to this question on a side conversation on the recent episode. The episode where we were talking about the most bad A characters. One of the answers that somebody threw out there as a joke was Castlevania, and they said Simon Belmont or something like that.
I did write down Simon Belmont. I've played Castlevania, but I can't remember if his... I know his last name is Belmont. I just can't remember if it's Simon.
Let's just say Belmont.
Belmont.
We're going Belmont.
I had no idea. I said Van Helsing. It's just, I have no idea. So, yes, it's not 30 to 20, I imagine.
The correct answer is Simon Belmont.
Woohoo!
Nice. Making a comeback!
You've been here for years.
Or at least minutes. We've been here for minutes.
So the second question More in video round games. Three is in the category science.
Science!
Science!
The question is, also produced by the pancreas, which hormone in the human body counteracts the activity of insulin by increasing blood sugar?
All right, I'm locked in.
I've heard this before.
So have I.
Somewhere in the deep reaches of my brain. It increases blood sugar. Do you think it's something like glycogen?
Yeah, maybe.
Something sugary is kind of what's getting to me there. I'm trying to think of other words indicating sugar.
Glycine? Man, I gave up my medical studies years ago.
Can you think of any other words that relate to sugars?
Sucrin? Sucrose?
Sucralin, sucralose, those are sweeteners. So I wouldn't think of
sucrogen.
No.
I'm just making up words at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm either with glycine or glycogen.
I would lean towards glycogen because I feel like that's a real word. It didn't come out of nowhere. I didn't make it up.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Are you really sure?
No.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure. So there's that.
Okay.
We're going to go with glycogen.
Well, I think that's close.
Oh, crap.
It's not what I put, but it is close to what I put. For some reason, the first thing that jumped in my mind was a word, glucagon. That's what I put.
Okay, so the correct answer is glucagon.
So close!
Science!
Glucose. Is the word glucose. I was looking for. That was the sugary root word that I was looking for. And I couldn't find it. Sucrose, you said. Glucose, we didn't say. All right, Jeffrey.
Okay. So the final question in round three, before the midpoint is in world leaders. Okay. The question is, elected into office in 2009, who is the current president of South Africa?
Oh, God. I know this.
Well, that makes one of us. Because Carmela and I don't.
Is there a fire extinguisher on your son's desk?
As a matter of fact, there is.
Was he on fire earlier?
You never know when you're going to need a fire extinguisher.
it's a toy.
Oh, okay. Like, that's really weird.
All right, I'm locked in. Go ahead and talk it out.
There's nothing to talk about, my man.
Fire extinguisher.
Do you have any?
No idea.
No, neither do I.
Not even a little bit.
Not a bit.
I was hoping that was like it was going to be Canada or something like that. Because that I know. Like, it's like Justin Trudeau or Trudeau or something like that.
Trudeau. No, I don't have any clue at all. So we're going to say John Smith.
John Smith, I'm pretty sure, is not it.
Funny you mentioned John Smith.
I don't know that this guy is still Jane the president, Smith. But I wrote a question about his name sounding like a beverage from the 90s. I think his name is Zuma.
The correct answer is Jacob Zuma.
Jacob Zuma.
I'm developing a deep-seated dislike for Jeffrey at the moment. I'm not sure if you can tell it.
I still like you, Jeffrey. I don't know if I'll ever ask you to host again. But
ouch.
She's no. more easygoing than I am.
No, that's not true. Besides, I'm not the person who asks people to be on the show.
Going into the midpoint, it is 50-20, Russ's lead.
Let's quit right here.
You know, I might take you up on that because this is not making us look good.
So the midpoint question is in literature. The question is, name the four William Shakespeare plays that were set in ancient Rome.
I feel like I know three of them.
I know two immediately. I'm trying to think of the other two.
One of the two you knew is not one of the ones I had, so I think we might be okay.
Woohoo!
All right, I'm locked in, so you guys can talk.
Okay, so the three that I wrote down were Troilus and Cressida.
That's what I was trying to find.
Antony and Cleopatra, mm-hmm. and Julius Caesar.
And Titus Andronicus.
And you wrote Titus Andronicus. So those are our four.
Yeah, I had Julius Caesar, Troilus and Cressidus, Timon of Athens, and I did not come up with a fourth.
If Timon of Athens is right, I'm going to be pissed because Athens is definitely not Rome.
Oh, God. Oh. Oh, what a brain fart.
It's close. It's just on the other side of the sea.
Oh, my God.
Like I
but
said,
maybe they traveled to Rome.
Like I said, I will be pissed.
So the correct answers are Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra, Titus Andronicus, and Coriolanus.
Coriolanus, that's what I was missing.
Where is Troilus and Cressida set up?
That was set during the Trojan War. So that had to be ancient Greece.
Darn it.
I'm sorry, well, I knew Coriolanus. I couldn't pull it out, though.
Had you said Greece, I would have won that round.
Okay, after the half, it is 60 for Russ to 35 for Jonathan and Carmela. We've got to get three more right than he does in the second half.
Okay.
No, you don't. Yes. You just have to stay within half.
No.
Because I'm going to miss the final question.
You always say
whatever.
That.
Okay.
Actually, this is Jeffrey's questions. We're both going to miss the final question.
let's be honest.
All right, before we get into the halftime, I'm not going to do a Loot Crate ad officially this week. I do, however, want to say thank you. So here's what's up. This week, while you're listening to this, I am actually in Chicago. I'm flying in on Monday, and I'll be there until Saturday. I'm going to be in Chicago for Podcast Movement. Podcast Movement is the biggest podcasters conference in the world, and I got a lot out of being there last year. I met a lot of great people. Some of the people you've heard on the show were people that I met at Podcast Movement. It was really beneficial for me, and this year I'm getting to go again. The reason that I'm saying thank you, though, is that you guys have helped me to get there. all of you guys who have subscribed to a Loot Crate subscription have contributed. All of you guys who have signed up for Patreon have helped me and have contributed. And so without your support this year, this trip would have been much, much more difficult. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. I really appreciate you. And I'm hoping that the show will continue to get better as I continue to get better at doing it. If you're interested in supporting us in either of those ways, Loot Crate, it's a great place to get geek and gamer items sent directly to your house. Go over to lootcrate.com/TWA to see what's out there for you. And if you want to donate to the show on Patreon, the link would be patreon.com/TWA. All right, Jeffrey, let's get started with the fourth round.
So round four, question one is in history. To which European city did the Roman Catholic papacy relocate its residence from Rome for 68 years in the 14th century?
I've got a answer. I don't know if it's the best answer, though. What century was it, Jeffrey?
14th century.
All right, I'm going to lock in.
So the first one that came to mind was Constantinople.
That was during the schism.
I believe that they ended up... So the main church itself ended up going back to the Vatican eventually. Mm-hmm. 68 years, I think he said. But there is a branch of, I think, Eastern Orthodoxy or something like that.
Right.
That maintains Constantinople as their primary city.
So here's where I'm struggling.
Yeah.
A month ago, I read a book about the Plantagenets, which were a ruling house in
England,
Great Britain.
Yeah.
And they talked about this. Now, this book was also like 20 hours long, so I'm trying to find Constantinople and what I remember of it.
I thought the Great Schism was with the English and Catholics where the Church of England was created.
No.
Okay.
The schism is when you got the Eastern Orthodox and then the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And I wanted to say they moved further west, not east.
If they moved further west, then it would have had to be into, well, northwest. Mm-hmm. It would have had to be into Switzerland, Germany, France.
The Papal States were in Germany.
Paris, Berlin, Munich.
I don't know. I'm struggling. I don't think it was Versailles.
Almost certainly not Versailles.
Yeah. I don't think it was Paris either.
Pretty sure Versailles didn't exist. It was built by Louis XIV.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere in Germany, because that's where the Holy Roman Empire was. It was in Germany.
I don't have an answer for you. If you want to say something in German, the only two cities that I'm thinking of are maybe Vienna, would be Austria.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say Hamburg. That's the only thing I can think of right now.
Hamburg?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? That doesn't even seem like a big place.
I don't think it's Berlin.
You sure those? You're confident that it is east, that it's western, and not Constantinople?
No, I'm not. I don't know. I got nothing now.
Okay, then I would stick with Constantinople. Then.
Okay.
If it's Hamburg, I'm just gonna go to the bathroom and shoot myself. I would do it in the bathroom. I don't want to make a mess out here.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. It is your place after all.
That's right. We're going to say Constantinople. And Jeffrey, you're slowly but surely making us hate ourselves.
Well, here's the funny thing. At my pub quiz, I allow the third and last place teams to pick categories for the following week. And probably the most hated of these category picks in the last few years has been popes.
Oh, yeah. I can see why.
The good thing, exactly. The good thing about that for me is I've written questions about this, thanks to that. The answer is in France. You were close when you started getting into France, but I think it's Avignon.
The correct answer is Avignon.
Well, your logic was better than mine.
Now I remember that city.
Good logic.
The book.
The second question of the fourth round is in languages. The four national languages of Switzerland are French, German, Italian, and what other language?
He named the ones I was confident in.
French, German, and Italian, right?
Yes.
Ebonics. Well, not even a chuckle.
Jeez. So I didn't think it was funny.
Ah, you didn't even hear me. You were writing. What were you writing, by the way?
Oh, I was drawing a flower, and then I actually wrote a word.
She was drawing a flower.
Precious.
I am precious.
I'm locked in. Written down.
That's the name of a font.
I know it is. And it's a Swiss font.
Oh. Okay. So
the obvious quick answer that we both thought of immediately was English. I don't think it's English. Switzerland's original name is the closest thing I can do is name the font. So the font's name is Helvetica, and that is related to, very similar to, the original name of Switzerland.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I don't know the name of the language itself, but I'm pretty sure that's the answer here. Because you could have said, you would say Swiss, but Swiss isn't a language, but a variation of the word Helvetica is. So it's like,
well, I'm also thinking about their neutrality, and there's a pretty big population of the world that speaks English.
No, I'm confident that I've heard this somewhere before.
Okay, but you don't know what the word is.
I don't know what the word is.
I can't help you there.
Helvish.
I don't think that's right.
Helvish.
Helvetican?
Helvetican.
You laughing at me over there, Russ? Don't laugh at me.
I love it.
It's embarrassing.
No, laugh at him. Just do it.
If that's not a language, it should be.
Helvish?
Helvish.
Helvetia? Helvetia? I know this is the right ballpark. I know you want to go English. I think I want to say Helvetican.
Okay, say Helvetican. That way I can blame it on you if it's wrong.
We're gonna say Helvetican.
Man, I hope it's not that. I know this isn't right because it just doesn't match the difficulty level of the previous questions today. I've heard of a language that starts with an R, but I can't remember what it is. And I think a couple different countries over there speak it. So I just went with the obvious English, but I know that's not right.
Okay, so the correct answer does start with an R.
Of course.
And the answer is Romansh.
That's it, yeah, Romansh.
So what the hell was I thinking of?
The font.
No, I'm the not font. Thinking of the font. The name, hold on a second. I need to soothe my own soul. Switzerland's name used to be Helvetia. H-E-L-V-E-T-I-A. The Swiss Confederation. Apparently that's not the language, though. Romansh, huh?
Romansh.
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 It's a romance language that has German influences in it.
It tastes like ranch. Okay.
The category is in geography. The question is, the state of Iowa has its western and eastern border formed by which two rivers?
All right, I'm going to lock in.
The two that I wrote down were the Mississippi and the Missouri.
So the three I wrote down was the Ohio, the Mississippi, and the Missouri.
Iowa, if you look at it on a map, Illinois is to its right,
mm-hmm.
And like, what is it to its...
I've apparently been to Iowa, but I was probably about that big.
I think South Dakota is to its left.
Okay.
Ohio is on the other side of Illinois. It's on the right.
Okay.
So I don't think the Ohio River is two states over from Ohio.
Well, I know it's the I in Nemo.
The Mississippi comes out of Minnesota. That's where it starts.
Okay, and that's the first M.
Well, that's right above Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Missouri is the state below Iowa.
Yep.
So it wouldn't shock me to have the Mississippi on the right and Missouri on the left. So that's what I would probably go with.
Okay. Right. It is answers that we all wrote down, and I agree with you about Ohio, so.
We're going to go with the Mississippi and the Missouri.
Good reasoning. Yep. Mississippi and Missouri. And I think there's also a tributary of the Missouri that also forms part of the border.
You live a lot closer up there, by the way. That's hard knowledge for people in Florida to come by.
This was pretty instant for me.
Yeah.
So the correct answer is the Mississippi and the Missouri River.
Yay.
All right. So after the fourth round, Jonathan and Carmella have 45. Russ has 80. 80 to 45. Okay.
So time for round five. The category for the first question in round five is mythology.
Okay.
The question is, in Egyptian mythology, the chief judge of the underworld would pass judgment on deceased souls by weighing their hearts on a balance. If the heart was found to be heavier than the feather, the cast out souls would be fed to whom?
All right, I'm locked in with the wrong answer.
So what I've been doing as he's reading these questions is thinking of different things that I know about what he's talking about, and it's never what he ends up asking.
Well, his questions are as misleading as my answers. So, you don't know what he's asking.
Like, I wrote down Osiris because that's who's judging, and right. I wrote down Feather because that's what they're judging against. I think they feed it to some sort of crocodile-headed person, but I don't know their name. Sobek?
Sobek is the crocodile god.
Mm. Well, I know it's not Anubis, because he's the god of mummification.
Anubis is the jackal-headed guy, though.
Yes.
I thought it was a three-headed dog situation.
Like Cerberus?
That's right.
Cerberus is a Greek myth.
I know it is, but I feel like I remember in the Cain Chronicles, when the chick was flirting with Anubis, that he had like a pet three-headed dog situation.
Is everything you know about mythology from Rick Riordan?
Is it? Yes. Is it Cepheus, perhaps?
Cepheus has the head of a what?
What?
What does their head look like?
I don't think it's... No, it's not a god. I think it's an animal. I don't think the answer to the question is going to be a god. I think it's going to be a beast.
What's a Cepheus?
Perhaps it's a three-headed dog in Egyptian, since Cerberus is Greek. I'm not saying I know what I'm talking about here, but I feel like I remember Anubis having a pet. He's the god of the underworld. He's not the judge, but
He's not the god of the underworld. Osiris is.
Osiris is the judge.
But he's also the god of the underworld.
Anubis is the god of the dead. Is that better?
A little bit.
Okay. I think it has to do with Anubis, and I think it's some beast of his. And for some reason, I feel like it's a three-headed dog, and Cepheus is the best name I'm coming up with.
Okay.
Do you know any better?
No, I really thought it was a crocodile, but it's okay.
If it's a crocodile, I mean, the god of the crocodiles is called Sobek. But I don't remember him being involved in death at all.
Okay. We'll go with yours.
Okay. We're going to say Cepheus.
I didn't think it out as much as you did because I don't know nearly as much as you do about Egyptian stuff. Well, first I thought Osiris, but that was part of the question. So I just landed on Anubis.
Okay.
You're probably right. I'm probably wrong.
I don't think we're right. But we'll see.
So the correct answer is Amut, or Amit, the devourer or the eater of souls or hearts. It was part lion, hippopotamus, and crocodile.
So I got the crocodile part.
Have you ever heard the name?
Yeah, I have.
Did you remember it? Mm-mm. Like, would you have come up with it?
Mm-mm.
No.
Because I was thinking only the crocodile.
Okay.
The second question in round five is in music. The question is... With their debut single, Cake by the Ocean, reaching top 10 status on the Billboard Hot 100, the music group DNCE is fronted by which lead vocalist?
I'm locked in. Although I was hoping you were going to ask for the name of the group. That would have been easier.
Really? DNCE, so yeah. It's some variation of dance. Cake by the Ocean, does it ring a bell at all?
No.
No. John Smith, that man of many faces. Okay, so it's guess time. We're going to guess the name Taylor. Last name only.
Ah, good strategy. However, I thought about using the last name only, and I thought that Jeffrey might prompt me for more information because there are a set of brothers that all share that last name. They used to be in the same group together, but one of them split off and formed this band that I call Dunce. It is Joe Jonas.
So the correct answer is Joe Jonas.
I was kind of hoping to be like
you
Taylor
got the
Hansen.
Right Jonas brother.
I don't feel bad about not knowing that, Russ. I would sure be ashamed if I were you. It's 90-45.
Ugh.
We're at serious risk right now, just so you know. Okay, last question of the fourth round. Go for it, Jeffrey.
Great. No, so the final category.
Last question of the fifth round.
For the fifth round.
Sorry.
Is in presidents.
Okay.
The question is, in the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The first person to win $1 million was IRS employee John Carpenter. He achieved this feat by correctly answering that which president appeared in the TV show Laugh-In.
I wrote this down as soon as you said, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I am locked in.
So the real question here is which president appeared in the TV show Laugh-In?
What? That?
You never heard of Laugh-In?
No, I've heard of it, but I'm like, what kind of show was it?
As a variety show. Bunch of hippies. Like, think glow, think lava lamps and giant flowers.
So a president that would have appeared on that.
Yeah, it would have been in the late 60s, early 70s. It feels like it has to be Nixon. So it's not going to be Kennedy. There's no way it's LBJ.
I was thinking like Reagan or something.
No, it's too late. It would have to be Nixon, Ford, or Carter. It could be Carter, but I feel like it's probably Nixon.
Okay.
We're going to guess Nixon.
You guessed correctly. It is Nixon. He actually goes on the show and says, "Sock it to me."
The correct answer is Richard Nixon.
Okay, going into the sixth round, Russ has 100. We have Carmella and Jonathan have 55.
Ugh.
So we're still at great peril, perilous peril of a perilous nature.
Okay, so the first question in round six is in music and literature.
Okay.
The question is, the final song on U2's debut album, Boy, is called Shadows and Tall Trees, the title of chapter 7 in which 20th century dystopian novel?
So there's a dystopian novel from the 20th century with the 7th chapter is named something something and tall trees?
Shadows and Tall Trees.
Shadows and Tall Trees.
All right, I'm locked in.
Lots of 19th century or 20th century dystopian novels to choose from.
So the two I've written down so far, 1984 and Fahrenheit 451.
Brave New World.
Okay.
I almost always lean towards Fahrenheit 451, but it really doesn't feel like that's the kind of book. I feel like Jeffrey is going to be using a book that we've never heard of. which is quite the problem for us, because if we've never heard of it, it's almost impossible that we'll think of it to answer.
Could it be like Atlas Shrugged?
Could be.
1984?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, we'll say 1984.
I said Lord of the Flies. I think there was kind of a theme to the album, Lord of the Flies theme.
I'm really hoping that's not right, because I don't consider that dystopian.
I didn't either, but I think I've heard the question before.
Okay. I'll have a big argument about that, if that's the answer.
So the correct answer was Lord of the Flies. So
so do we... The term dystopian means futuristic? And there's
it doesn't necessarily
no,
mean...
No, not necessarily futuristic.
Yeah.
It means...
Just bleak.
It's just like a failed society or...
The opposite of utopian.
Yeah.
Right, but it's not currently in a modern setting. And Lord of the Flies is a modern setting.
Matter. Typically think of as dystopian, but it's not. It doesn't go against the definition of dystopian.
Really?
And in regards to movies, it's often followed by future. So people will say, in a dystopian future.
Right. Genre of fictional writing used to explore social and political structures in a dark, nightmare world. Dystopia is defined as a society characterized by poverty, squalor, and or oppression, and the theme is most commonly used in science fiction or speculative fiction genres. Okay, well, I guess I can't argue too much. One of the very first searches, if you type "is Lord of the Flies," the first search that comes up is dystopian. And it is considered dystopian, apparently.
Wow.
So there you go.
There you go.
We were never going to get that one right.
Nope.
So the second question in round six is corporate logos. The question is, the image of a golden fleece suspended on a tied ribbon is the corporate logo of which American clothing retailer?
Target. When you say a tied ribbon, do you mean like a bow?
I mean, it's tied on one end. It's been described as a ribbon, but it's a piece of cloth that's tied at one end.
And the only clue here is American retailer?
Clothing retailer.
I can't visualize it. I can't even get a picture in my mind.
Right now I'm running through American clothing retailers that I know and checking what their symbols are.
Right. Lacoste. That's not a fleece.
I think that's an alligator.
Russ was like, I got no idea, dude. Yeah, right? The only logos I'm familiar with are the Big and Tall store.
I'll just lock something in. Reluctantly.
Okay. So, I passed you a piece of paper that said something to do with Jason, Argonauts, or mythology. I'm trying to think of brands that might have something to do with those things.
Yeah.
What about Aeropostale?
I think it's just called Aeropostale.
Okay. So, when we're talking about a sheepskin over a ribbon, and it didn't sound like a bow, but I couldn't, when he said tied off on one end, I don't know what that means. Tied to what? Is what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, so, a sheepskin, it almost seemed like maybe a swooshy looking thing with something hanging off of it.
Yeah, I can't visualize what it would look like. Would you say Aeropostale?
I guess so. All right, we're going to say Aeropostale.
Well, I kind of had an idea of what kind of place it was, but I figured it was more of an upscale men's place because I know that I've seen it. I've seen the logo. And I think we used to have one of these here. But I was wavering between this one and another one that we also have here. The problem was I couldn't remember the name of the other one. So I went with Brooks Brothers.
Okay. Jeffrey.
The correct answer is Brooks Brothers.
Nice. I got lucky because I couldn't remember the other one.
Well, there's a reason that we didn't get that right.
I've never
seen the Brooks Brothers logo in my life.
What's a Brooks Brothers?
It's a very fancy, expensive suit.
I don't wear suits.
All right, last question of the sixth round.
So the last question is movies and geography. The inspiration for Paradise Falls in the Pixar movie Up, Angel Falls, is located in which country?
I'm locked in.
It's Venezuela.
Well, I knew it was South American. So, well, I guess Venezuela is Central America.
No, it's South.
Is it?
Yep.
So Venezuela?
Yep.
Okay.
Venezuela,
named after an American pilot.
The correct answer is Venezuela.
We really needed him to miss a question in the sixth round, but he did not do so.
Ooh. Sucks to be us.
That it does. So, actually, I think we might still be able to tie it. Yeah, we can tie it. Going into the final, it is 130 to 65. Your Titus Andronicus is the only reason that we're in this game at all, that it's not a complete blowout. So we got that going for us.
Yay, I'm helping.
Nice. All right, Jeffrey, what is the category for the final question?
So it's called Bragging Rights for Non-Sports Facts.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's sports and geography mixed in it.
Okay, so we have to write down our wagers.
Does this come from your ghost pepper list?
Ghost pepper.
I've written our wager down.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think we need to discuss it.
I'm glad you consulted me.
I don't think we need to discuss it. We don't have much choice in the matter. Do you have written your number down, Russ?
Yeah.
All right.
So the final round question is, rank the four teams in the National Football League's NFC North Division in order of population of the state in which they play in, from most populous to least populous.
He chose the division that houses the team in the state that Russ lives in. I just want to point that out.
Couldn't get any AFC in there?
No. how are we ranking these again?
From most populous to least populous, based on the state in which those teams play in. Not the city.
The state. Okay.
The state.
Oh, boy. That makes it quite a bit harder.
I'm going to put the states in front of you in a second.
Did he give us the teams?
In a sense. You have to know what they are.
Oh.
All right. I'm locked in.
Are you?
Yep.
Okay. From highest to lowest, Jeffrey?
Correct.
Okay. So the teams are the Bears, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Lions. So the states are Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Well, the majority of Minnesota lives in the Twin Cities, so I'm going to guess that that's going to be pretty low on the list.
It's funny that you mention that, because when I think about state populations, I think about how many major cities they have.
And Minnesota's only got like two.
But Minnesota's pretty large. Wisconsin's probably the lowest.
And I think Minnesota would be the next lowest, because there's a lot of people that live in Michigan, and there's a lot of people who live in Illinois. It's just trying to figure out which one's which.
I'm on board with you. So Wisconsin has Milwaukee and Madison. Yeah. Madison's not a big city. So I think Wisconsin's last, Minnesota's third, and then it comes down to who has more people, Michigan or Illinois.
Right.
Detroit is not as big a city as it once was. It used to be huge. As of what year of population, Jeffrey?
So these figures are taken from the U.S. Census Bureau as of July 1st, 2015.
Okay. So Detroit doesn't have nearly as many people. I mean, they've lost like a million people.
Okay.
Than they used to.
Illinois's got Chicago.
Chicago, and Springfield, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But Detroit's got, I mean, Michigan's got Detroit, Lansing, Ann Arbor. I mean, I would lean towards Chicago being significantly larger than
Detroit.
And so I would lean towards Illinois being the highest, then Michigan, then
Minnesota, and then Wisconsin.
And I wouldn't be shocked if Michigan was lower than Minnesota, to be honest with you.
I don't think so.
Okay. So do you want to go Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin?
Yep.
All right. We're saying Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
You need to name the teams.
Shoot. We're going Bears. No, what are we saying? We are saying Bears, Lions, Vikings, Packers.
I also said Bears, Lions, Vikings, Packers in that order.
Okay.
Okay. So the order from most populous to least populous. First is the Bears. Illinois has a population of 12.9 million. Then the Detroit Lions in Michigan, 9.9 million people. Then the Green Bay Packers. Wisconsin has a population of 5.8 million. And then the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota has a population of 5.5 million. And that's been consistent in the past 5 years.
Well,
so Minnesota is beneath Wisconsin.
So Carmella.
I mean, you knew the teams. That's more than what I had. I'm like,
Russ, what did you wager?
Yeah.
Well, you wagered zero.
For fun purposes, I think you bet wagered one. Zero so many times. I thought, let's have a winner. So if you'd gotten it right and I'd gotten it wrong, I would have lost. So I just wagered one.
Yeah. And we wagered all 65. We had to. So, Russ, you've beaten us again.
I don't believe it.
One to one. Shoot. You actually had a respectable performance in this game. But you won 129-0. The thing is, I don't feel like we underperformed in this game.
No. Those questions are hard.
I got just as many right, were they? On my best day, I think I would have gotten just as many right as I got today. Those were extremely challenging questions. Jeffrey,
I feel like that was probably the most challenging set on the show so far.
I think I definitely agree with you. There was not a single mild question there from the start to the finish, man. From the start to the finish. Okay. Before we go, we want to celebrate our Warhead of the Week. And even though I'm actually waffling on this.
I love waffles.
Because going in, my intention was for Jeffrey Seguritan, who hosted the show, to be the Warhead of the Week. But now I'm having second thoughts because I feel violated after this week's question. So, Carmella, I'm going to leave it up to you. Should Jeffrey be the Warhead of the Week?
With the way that he took us down, and yeah, definitely make him Warhead of the Week.
So you respect getting beaten.
I respect it.
Okay.
Go for it, Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey.
I think he still had questions.
Jeffrey Seguritan, you are our Warhead of the Week.
Thanks.
He's like, thanks. Thank you?
All right, and you guys know that we are on the, what is it, the sweep for 75, the swing for 75?
Sprint to 75.
The sprint to 75. We're talking iTunes reviews. We actually got a few more that poured in just recently, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
All right, so I want to read a couple of new reviews to you. So we had a review from Jameson Hooves, and Jameson, his title was Best Dang Trivia Podcast Around. He said, oh, this is long. He said, first started listening on a long road trip with some good friends. We challenged ourselves to keep our own score to see how we would do and held our own. Fast forward to the present day, I've listened to every single episode. Hosts are amazing. Guests and regulars are fantastic. And the Tournament of Champions was a blast. If you're interested in pub-style trivia, this is the show for you. Try not to listen while at school or work, however, as you'll find yourself being told to quiet down as you shout out the answers and groan when you were so certain that what you thought was correct ended up not being so. A great addition to any podcast lineup. Thank you, Mr. Jameson Hooves. Joe50315 was much shorter in his words. He said, quote unquote, good mix of humor and trivia. Boom.
To the point.
I'll take it, Joe. I agree with you. And Calvin Zero, spelled X-E-R-O, said, this isn't the best review in the world. It got deleted into the sands of time.
Oh, I've read this one.
This is just a tribute. That review talked about the disappointment for the lack of bloodshed in this warfare of Trivial Pursuits. But fair not, random person reading reviews of crazy people. For there are moments of great laughter while listening to questions of slight importance. Moments like Chris talking innocently about that Timber song, thinking it was about a lumberjack, and not the weird internet fetish kind. Plus there's trivia. Maybe I should have led with that. Enjoy, Trivia Junkie. It's a fun ride. That was from Calvin Zero. Thank you, Calvin. We appreciate your review, man. If you guys want to give us a review, head over to iTunes and just click the write a review button. We appreciate it. And thank you so much. We're on the sprint for 75. We have 71 right now.
Woo! Four more.
We're getting close. We need four more reviews to get to 75.
Okay, we have a new Trivial Warfare Army member today, this week. Ann Higgins is a new private in the Trivial Warfare Army. Ann, thank you so much. I appreciate every single dollar that you guys are willing to donate. That is... It is humbling to me that when you guys are willing to help us out. So, Anne, thank you very much. Welcome to the group. If you're interested in donating through Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/TWA. Also, I want to remind you, we have Trivial Warfare shirts and hoodies and girly shirts and all kinds of cool stuff out there on our little pop-up store for the next 2 weeks or so. If you want a Trivial Warfare shirt or hoodie or whatever, head over to teespring.com/warhead. Teespring is T-E-E and then the word spring.com/warhead. Check out the shirts and go ahead and grab one if you want one.
Okay, guys, that's the end of the show for today. Remember, if you live in the Springfield area, go check out Russ at the Trivia Workshop Games. Russ, where can people find you?
TriviaWorkshop.com or the Facebook page, which is just Facebook.com/TriviaWorkshop.
Beautiful. That is Carmella. That is Jeffrey. That is Russ. And I am Jonathan. And this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Okay, I don't hear it now.
Okay.
Only when you touched it.
I will not touch it again.
Oh, yeah, that's what they all say. Is it?
Only to you.
Are we here? Hey. Oh, hey.